This is Returns on Well-Being Institute podcast. We bring you the latest and best strategies, tactics, and information to help employers boost their bottom line. Welcome to today's program.
I'm Stephen Van Yoder. Workplace wellness can boost employee well-being and deliver meaningful business returns. But this can only happen when programs follow evidence-based best practices, which include comprehensive, individualized approaches to wellness that inspire and enable employees by catering to their individual needs and preferences. Unfortunately, most wellness programs do not take this approach. Instead, they impose generic, one-size-fits-all models on entire workforces. But when wellness programs ignore employees' unique needs, it can lead to lackluster health outcomes for the employees themselves, low employee engagement with corporate wellness programs, and negative ROI for employers. In this episode of the podcast, we interview Nipa Patel, CEO of WellRight, a corporate wellness company that delivers customizable wellness programs. Today, we will discuss why personalized approaches to well-being help workers achieve better health outcomes and help employers see better ROI and achieve strategic company objectives that matter to C-suites. Nipa, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
So this is a big topic. We've been hearing about this a long time at the Returns on Wellbeing Institute, and years on, it's still the same situation we see in our research and observations, that many wellness programs are taking one-size-fits-all approaches to large workforces, and they may not be seeing that this is counter to helping them achieve their wellness programming goals. And you probably heard there's been critiques that one-size-fits-all programs don't work, yet they still seem to be the norm. Do you agree with this critique?
Yeah, Stephen, I do agree with the critique. I think one-size-fits-all wellness programs are ineffective. Generic wellness programs often fail to engage and motivate participants. And when there's no engagement and there's no motivation to participate, no one will participate. And so you'll see the engagement numbers, those and the participation rates really impacted because of that. What personalization allows you to do is address the diverse needs of your workforce. So you may have a workforce where there are field workers or manufacturing workers that need to engage in a program in a different way. You may have a workforce. We've seen a lot of news around burnout with nurses and physicians. They obviously need to engage in a program in a different way than a field worker might. And so I think the personalization, not only in how you're able to access the well-being program, but also in terms of the content, is super important.
As part of this critique, and as time marches on, the composition, the generational compositions of workforces change with time. I've read recent statistics that Gen Z and millennials are somewhere above 50-60% of the national workforce. Does this factor into that critique as well, that there are different expectations among different age groups?
Absolutely. You've hit on one crucial element of why personalization is so important, Stephen. So if you think about boomers, for example, they may have different priorities for financial wellness than the Gen Z workers in your office. Similarly, office workers in your environment may have different requirements than manual laborers, as I mentioned earlier. And so certainly the generational components, as well as what the functions of a job are, really factor into what important aspects of well-being those folks need to address. We've heard a lot in the news recently around caregiving benefits. And, both Gen Z and millennials, as well as boomers, are need to access caregiving benefits in a different way than one another. And so Gen Z and millennials may be entering into their stage of life where they're dealing with children. The boomers are not only dealing with children, but they're also dealing with aging parents. And so I think there's lots of different aspects of not only your age, but also your job function that make personalization so important.
What is all of this potentially costing companies and employees, this sort of predominance of one size fits all in the wellness programming marketplace?
if you think about in the 90s and the 2000s, when wellness programs were first taking off, there were a lot of emphasis on physical well-being, and which was super, you know, was super important and continues to be a critical component of well-being programs today. But, you know, without the personalization and really thinking about how do I increase engagement and motivation among my employees, how do I make them feel like as an employer, I care about all aspects of their well-being, without that, you're having a detrimental effect on not only retention, but productivity. There's, you know, without thinking about an overall well-being program, you're also not addressing distractions in the workforce, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking about other aspects of your life and how that is affecting your day-to-day, you're not able to show up for work in a meaningful way. And that is detrimental for employers.
Are there any other things that may be at play here that maybe the employees aren't talking about it, but the lack of a personalized wellness offering for a large workforce may be having little hidden challenges that are being brought to the company that the managers aren't even aware of? Is there anything else that may often get overlooked that would get an HR person's attention that this indeed is worth a closer look?
Yeah, we've spent a little bit of time talking about differential programs based on the workforce that you have. But I think it's also important to think about even within your workforce, thinking about different healthcare needs that your employees might have. And so these programs also help to address the issue of higher healthcare costs due to programs that may be able to pay attention to underlying health issues. So for example, you know, we work with, and as do other wellness companies, work through something called a health risk assessment and capturing biometric data that helps you identify, hey, there might be some issues that you can work on, right? And some of those are habit forming. Some of those are healthcare related. And so early identification of some of those healthcare related issues also allows your employees to follow a path to get better care or to address some of these issues, to become more educated, to figure out what they can do to address some of those underlying healthcare issues.
Have you seen the personalized approach that your platform takes, for example, in any of your client companies, help go from a place of maybe unrealized or unmaximized healthcare outcomes due to lack of, you know, employee awareness or engagement, to turning that around and seeing moving the needle in a better direction through personalization?
Yeah, I think the personalized wellness programs offer, you know, the ability for employers and the employee to customize the resources, support, and tracking that's relevant and most meaningful to them. And so what that allows the employee to do is feel empowered and take ownership of their own health and well-being, which again leads to the same things we've talked about: greater engagement, motivation, and healthy behaviors. And we've certainly seen that across a number of our clients, where just being able to engage and track via a platform creates not only habit formation, but also an awareness of, hey, I should be working on these dimensions of my health. I should be working on these dimensions of for mental health purposes. I should be working on things that will help on a financial well-being spectrum. And so I think what that allows you to do is, as an individual, really customize what are the things that are important that could change my life, my individual life, in a positive way.
What's the biggest difference from one size fits all, as Wellright is advocating, versus what we've been talking about? The alternative to a one size fits all, you know, your view on personalized approaches compared to the big setup we did a minute ago.
So personalized approaches really help the employee and the employer ultimately to take control of their health and get a greater sense of their own well-being. And so personalization really allows you to get a deeper understanding of your individual needs, promotes long-term behavior change by addressing some of the underlying motivations and barriers, and being able to access and find the path that is most meaningful for you is super important to be able to see those change. You don't want someone telling you what to do. You want to figure out what's the way that's going to motivate me the best.
I know this is a generalization, but you know, a one size fits all type approach program and how it would approach something like an ergonomic related issue. And I'm thinking maybe employee back pain or carpal tunnel or something like that. The typical company approach that's one size fits all versus what you're talking about. So could we take like one example and do a compare contrast so people will know what we're really talking about here?
You may have a field worker, for example, who's on their feet all day. Mm-hmm. And so the needs of that field worker and how they think about managing back pain or how they think about dealing with that while they're working is very different than someone that's sitting at a desk all day.
Right.
Right. And so when you're sitting at a desk, you may think about, oh, do I need a different kind of chair? Should I get up and stretch? But I think as you factor in, as I mentioned earlier, where your employees are working, how they're working, what access they have to tools to be able to mitigate some of that, mm-hmm. I think it's really important to think about offering a range of support and resources to really match how your employees are working and meet them where they are.
Where this meets employers' bottom lines can be very profound. If you don't engage an employee properly with a personalized approach to something like ergonomic caused, muscle pain, for example, mm-hmm. I mean, that can lead to huge healthcare claims and absenteeism and presenteeism and everything else.
You know, not only you as an employee and how you're dealing with that pain, but then you think about how does that affect someone's productivity at work, right? Mm-hmm. How does that, not only in the short term, but in the long term, as you mentioned, we spend a lot of our lives at work. And so you want to be able to feel higher job satisfaction and loyalty. And you feel that when you know that your employer is supporting you.
Most definitely among younger workers is a expectation of authenticity on the part of the employer that they're actually doing, in this case, a wellness offering because they genuinely want to help the employee, not just help the employer's own bottom line.
Sure.
It seems like this one, maybe one thing that employers aren't thinking about. You really have to walk your talk here. And if you're doing something called employee wellness, it really better be about employees and wellness and not just about your own profits. Of course, have to have returns and profits to have a company that runs, but that's the table stakes. You have to really put the employees' needs, if not first, equal to your own. This personalized approach delivers the ring of authenticity. It's what younger workers seem to be crying out for and punishing when they don't see it in their workforce or in their workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, one of the things that we've seen, some of the components that we think successful components have is that there's really walking the walk and talking the talk and really seeing your C-suite participate in these programs and really mm-hmm. take that to heart. Mm-hmm. And thinking about, again, all the dimensions of well-being and how you can offer that to your employees in a way that meets their needs.
This idea of, does my employer really truly care about me? You can see how that ripples throughout an entire organization. Will the employee go the extra mile when no one's looking? Mm-hmm. Will the employee recommend, they're out having dinner with friends? Are they going to talk? Of course, they impact the cultural, vibe, ethos that develops, and even the trust that an employee may have with their direct manager.
All of those components that you've mentioned are important for particularly we talked about earlier, the range of employees that you have now in the workforce, right? Mm-hmm. And so the boomer employee may have different expectations and needs than a Gen Z or millennial employee. And so mm-hmm. how do you really think about the personalization and the customization so that you are, again, meeting people where they are and giving them a broad range of resources that they can pick and choose from that's really going to be most meaningful for them? And by the way, it also helps you as an employer with making sure that you're having a motivated and participating workforce.
So let's talk about what HR and wellness professionals could do as first steps to maybe evaluate the programs they already have and consider, enumerating ways to make them more customized and, relevant to individual employees.
Well, I think one of the first things that an employer can do is ask questions. Doing some surveys, doing an assessment of your workforce, really understanding what do they need, what are they asking for, and really thinking about how can I design a program or offer a range of programs that addresses what my employees are actually telling me that they need. Once you've sort of understand what they need, how can you deliver some of that? Are there technology solutions? We talked a little bit about meeting the workforce where they are. So if you have field workers, or if you have folks that are not sitting in an office all day, how do you engage them in a well-being program? How do you get them resources? Are there mobile capabilities? Is there ability to track how you're doing with wearable devices, for example? So how do you really think about designing a program that matches what your workforce really needs? Are there technology solutions that are available and accessible to everyone? You know, not all of our employers that we work with do this, but an incentive component can really help people help them get started, right? Mm-hmm. So we talked about intrinsic motivation, but I think extrinsic motivation through incentives and rewards we've seen has had a pretty dramatic impact on participation rates. And so it's a great way, as you're thinking about launching a program, to get people started. A lot of what we've talked about today is, do you have a range of personalized resources and interventions? So is there coaching? Are there tailored exercise programs? Is there nutritional guidance? Are there stress management techniques? What is it that your employees have told you that they need? And how do you offer that range of services? You also don't want to overwhelm them with too many options. And so how do you think about gradually adding to your program over time as your workforce evolves and as their needs evolve?
Do enough employers actually involve their workforce at the front end as they're putting programs together to meet employee needs?
As you mentioned, many companies are good at soliciting feedback along the way and saying, right, how did we do? But right, really thinking about asking upfront and understanding what some of the underlying issues are, mm-hmm, is a good way to just make your program more meaningful out of the gate, right? It's not necessary, but I think it certainly helps to tailor the program. And if you as an employer are using your resources, you want to make sure that you're going to use them in the most meaningful and impactful way out of the gate. And certainly by asking some questions of your employees.
Let's talk about some of the companies that you have helped, and specifically what you've seen that underscores what we're talking about here.
As I mentioned, I think one of the things we look at and we spend a lot of time looking at is what's the makeup of the company? What kind of workers do they have? What's important for them in order to get the highest engagement they can? And then, so you work on that first, and then you think about how can I actually impact behavior and help make changes in health, in some of those other pillars of well-being that we've talked about, financial, emotional, mental, mm-hmm, for example. And so, you know, there's a manufacturer here in Chicago, which is where WellRight is based. It's about 1,000 employees, and they've had an overall increase in their user participation by about 50%. And okay, some of that is because they don't actually use incentives in their program, but what they've been able to do is craft a program that is very focused. So they ask their employees, what are the things that that are important to them? And for them, it was physical, financial, social, and emotional. So each quarter, they specifically focus on one of those dimensions of well-being and have created a program and a set of challenges that for their employees that are focused on the four things that those employees care about the most. There's another example I can use in the state of Washington. There's a hospital system that we work with, and they have about 75% of their employees engaged in the platform. That's a pretty high percentage. What a lot of hospital systems have had to deal with in the last couple of years. Obviously, there's issues of nurse burnout and mm-hmm, physician burnout. There's issues of shortages in a particular area. They're in a state with a very high nursing shortage. And what they have found is through their program, very holistic program, again, customized to the needs of that workforce. They've not only improved their return on investment and their how engaged their employees are, but they've also been able to retain a lot of their employees, which is super important. You know, there's plenty of other examples. There's some very large companies we work with, a utility and gas company that has over 10,000 employees. A lot of those employees are field workers. So it's really, they're not sitting at their desk. So they're not able to, you know, thinking about a well-being program while sitting at your desk is different than if you're in the field and you want to engage in the program, but how do you make it easy? The last thing they want to do is log in after, you know, a long day out in the field to actually engage with your well-being program. So how do you make it easy for them, right? How do you think about utilizing text reminders, using tracking functionality through wearables so that, again, they're engaged and they can see and track differences in their own habit formation over time?
Is there any other company, anything else you'd like to share along those lines?
One of the companies we work with out west, again, is a group that has used incentives very strategically. They've seen and have been able to measure that they've seen increased engagement by about 30% when they use incentives via gift cards versus not. And so as your programs evolve, changing and adapting the programs and the components of the program are also important. So that feedback mechanism of what's working, what's not working, and being able to tweak the program and personalize and customize along the way is critical for these companies.
But is there anything else that HR or wellness should be thinking about when they make the presentation to their C-suite that this is something we need to look at, potentially invest a little more in?
You know, outside of your organization, there's plenty of information in the workforce and in the industry that talks about the positive impact these programs have. So I think, you know, that's certainly one place to start. Mm-hmm. I think also thinking about, you know, as we mentioned, arming yourself with, well, we've actually asked our employees what's important. Mm-hmm. It is good information to have.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly can help you make the case. And then I think, you know, for many companies is you don't necessarily have to start with everything, right? And so how do you think about a program that can grow over time? What's your multi-year strategy, right? And then how do we grow the program over time? What are the things that are important to you as an employer? Are there key messages that you're trying to address? Demonstrating year-over-year performance is is important too, right? So how do you think about setting a baseline and then putting some goals out for the organization, but then measuring how you're doing against those goals and tweaking the program as your workforce evolves and as their needs evolve. It's a multi-year investment, right? And you're always going to have a workforce that you need to think about and retain and attract. And as we, you know, statistics show, Stephen, it's a far easier to, it's less expensive to retain talent than it is to attract
very
new
much
talent. And so how do you keep your employee base productive, and how do you make them feel good about where they work?
Summarize how your company can help listeners of this podcast and how to learn more about you.
Well, thanks, David. I appreciate it. I think we've talked a lot about the dimensions of what WellRight does and can do for companies, but we really think about a holistic approach to well-being and how do we provide and work with our employer customers to make sure that their employees are feeling like their employers are supporting them. So how do you think about providing resources in a way that makes the most sense for them? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with a range of health risk assessments and biometric data and really tailoring programs to address some of the dimensions that are important for that particular employee, really helps to drive some of the behaviors that we've talked about in terms of habit formation and improvements in health, but helps the employer in a lot of meaningful ways that we've discussed. And so programs that we've implemented with our clients, we're happy to talk to anyone about them and provide some best practices of what we have seen work. And there's certainly more information available on our website at wellright.com. So thanks, Stephen. I appreciate the time and I've enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you very much, Nipa.
You've been listening to Returns on Wellbeing Institute podcast. To learn more about our resources and programs that help employers make employee well-being a bottom-line business strategy, please visit www.returnsonwellbeing.com.